That was a good message, Sue.
Don't cry.
All right, so where does this come from, little Miss Sue over there? It comes from her having to deal with a bunch of stuff that has called into question, do you believe? You know, we preach and we talk that you're going to stand before God and you're going to have to answer a question. He's going to ask you, do you believe or did you believe? And you're not going to be able to put up some sort of justification about not believing. It's going to be a yes or no answer, and it'll either be yes or no, and that's it. And you're not going to be standing with all your friends to support you. You're going to be there naked before God. He's going to ask you, did you believe? And truthfully, what's been happening in her life and my life and I hope your life is there are areas in her life that are coming up and she's having to answer that question right now. Do you believe? Because the reality is that many, many, many of you do not believe. Now, how can I say that? Well, it's easy. You just look at you. See, if you believe, your life would be different. Just would be. And now I hear people talk, and they still are coming, trying to affect change in the life from the outside in. They're trying to... You know, I don't know if they think if they say it enough that it'll become real. It doesn't work that way. You know, there was a guy that asked Steve one time, what's the key? What is the key? What is the secret? And Brother Steve says one word. And he wrote it down. You know what the word was? Believe. Just one word. It's not believe and. It's just believe. See, if you believe on, one of the things Brother Steve said, believing in isn't going to get it done. Believing on gets it done. And there's a dramatic, humongous contrast that if you believe God, then the works of God you are going to do. They're going to be a naturally occurring I go back to this over and over and over. They are just going to happen. They can't not happen if you believe God. I will go back again to my lemon tree. If I go out and tape oranges on it, it doesn't make it an orange tree. It's a lemon tree. Why? Because it makes lemons. That's what it does. We water it. It grows. It has flowers. They get pollinated. Boom, there's lemons. We get lemons out of the lemon tree. Beautiful little tree. If you believe God, then the works of God you will do. Another thing Brother Steve mentioned about how we've all experienced the works of God in our life, been the recipients of it, been witness to it, but how many of you have walked in them? And how many of you walk in them on a regular basis? You know, the old saying that, you know, a broken clock is right at least twice a day. Big deal. I want to go to Romans 10 for a moment. Now, we've been reading through Romans. It's been pretty interesting because we've been doing that in our family Bible studies in the morning. And seeing Romans in kind of a different light, I don't want to get off track too much, but there was a contrast that Paul was talking about between the Jews and the Gentiles in Romans. There was this sort of classism that was going on pretty heavy. And you know that exists today? It exists in the church today. It's the same thing. It's the same battle. And where you had the Jews that held themselves in esteem over the Gentiles, and frankly, then the Gentiles held themselves and esteem over the Jews and all this kind of nonsense became all about them and not about God. You know, you see the same sort of arrogance in the church today. I'm going to read here Romans 10, starting verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, to God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. You know, this could be said of us for you. Right now, Brother Steve is in Vermont. And whether those in that ministry realize it or not, the sword that's coming is you either get your heart and self oriented appropriately, or you're done. And it is Brother Steve's desire, and it's my desire, and I bet you it's a lot of people's desire that you be saved, that you not be caught up in the judgment and cast off, but that you repent and you come and you've served the Lord in earnest and you put off the unbelief and the doubt and the pride and the self-justification and the self-righteousness and all the crap that you have lived in for so long, that you put that off and you cast it away and you repent before the Lord and you get on your knees and you beat away every imagination that would tell you anything that says, gives you any place of justification for where you have been and what you have done. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. There has to be the flipping of the switch in your heart from believing in to believing on. I don't know how that is going to work in you. I know how the Lord has worked it in me. But this goes back to that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That getting honest with God, that getting real with God, saying, getting on your knees and realizing and recognizing that, God, I have sinned, I have fallen, I have walked in pride and arrogancy, and I have not obeyed the truth. And when you get to that point, when you can just quit all the crap and the nonsense and the things, yes, but. I mean, if you get yes, but in your thinking, you have not repented. And without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Without repentance, there is no grace. There is no yes, but. There is just, Lord, you are right. And I have zero place to stand. I have zero place. I have no justification whatsoever. And you find that place in your walk with God, and your life changes. What Sue's been going through and what I've been going through, and I bet you a lot of you guys have been going through, is the light of God shining in your life, illuminating all the areas of unbelief. My little girl was sitting on the couch and we were having dinner, and frankly, she didn't want to eat her food, and she's got braces and sometimes her teeth are sore. And she said, I have sensitive teeth. I can't eat it. And I called the BS flag on that. I need to carry little brown flags in my back pocket, and every time there's a foul, throw it up like an NFL game. You know, call it the BS flag, because that's what it was. I said, do you want sensitive teeth? Do you want that? There are so many things that people accept as they have to have it. And it's all nonsense. It's all justification. It's all pride. It's all, frankly, if you get down to it, you just don't want to do the thing. So you're find any excuse you can so you don't have to do it and be justified in it. That's not belief. And while that was a seemingly insignificant, I don't think it was at all, because it outlines an underlying attitude that needs to be driven out of my child. But what happens when that comes to the things of God? What happens when that comes into your life, where the Lord puts something before you and all you can think of is all the reasons why you can't do it? And you allow that to justify yourself. And you allow that to move you. Not towards God. Not towards the things he would have you do. Not towards the place he would have you be. But rather away from it. What do you do? See, if you turn in and face those doubts, and you lean on Jesus, and you believe anyway, not because you could see a way through it, but because you can't see a way through it, and you know, regardless of what you can or can't see, if Jesus has given it to you to be done, it'll be done. Just believe. Sue's been struggling with some health issues. Does God want you sick, honey? No. So what are you going to do? Fight. And praise God, we're seeing movement for the first time in years. Amen. The solution hasn't been what the doctors are saying, because they can't find anything wrong with her. I can give you a list later, but... medically, they can't find anything. So we know it's a spiritual thing. And the more she orients herself to just believing God and getting angry at the enemy and not accepting those things, guess what? You know God's word works, doesn't it, honey? Resist the devil and what? He will flee. Now you have to humble yourself. You have to submit yourself, therefore, to God. And you have to fight. Brother Steve was talking about earnestly contending for the faith. You know, it doesn't say to struggle to believe. It says fight against the unbelief. That's your fight. Your fight isn't, oh, I just need to believe more. I'll never forget the time. I hope I never forget the time. Sitting in Dad's kitchen back in South Carolina. And I was whining and moaning and complaining about some nonsense, and he pulls me, he says, very soon, look, it's not about you believing more, son. Fight against the unbelief. I said, what an interesting approach. It's almost scriptural. It's like the Bible says that. And it does say that. Labor against what? Unbelief. One of the things that Brother Steve said today, which I thought was really cool, and maybe it's just me. Is the connection between gold and brass in this way. The work it takes to keep brass looking like gold. Doesn't matter how much you polish it. Doesn't matter how much it looks like gold. It's still brass. Gold is just gold, and it will always be gold. And that's the difference between belief and unbelief. If you believe God, that's gold. And it just will shine forth as gold. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do the work. You don't have to polish it. It just is gold. Now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have gold? Or would you rather have something that sort of looks like it, but takes a lot of maintenance? Because where you have been living and where you have been walking is the latter. You have accepted the brass as sufficient, and you work like hell to keep it looking pretty. it's still brass. And it's never going to be gold. Never, ever is it going to be gold. It's quite literally, there's two things on the table. Which are you going to pick up? You going to pick up the gold? Or are you going to pick up the brass? If you pick up the gold, that's the right choice. It's absolutely the right choice. It's funny, we've had so many sermons, not funny, it's cool, I'll say. It's pretty awesome that we've had so many people this morning talk about believing God. And that's certainly where I was as I was seeking the Lord on what to talk about today. I want to go back to one other scripture. What time we got? Oh, we got plenty of time. I want to go back to Romans 4. Because that's where I was again this morning. I had two scriptures. It was Romans 10 and Romans 4. I know Sue talked a little bit about it, but I want to go back to verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now I want to challenge you and find where it says anywhere that they believe and did something. That there was something they had to add to the belief. Not believe in, I'm talking about believing on, believing God. See, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It also says it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It was that belief against everything that says otherwise. It's believing that God was able to accomplish that which he started. It was believing that God was able to fulfill his promise, even though all natural means of doing so seemed to be exhausted. It was just plain and simple, believe God. Elijah believed God, changed the course of the nation. God, you know the thing you said, Sue, about God being a respecter of persons? He's not, I understand that, but people thinking it. And whether they would voice that or not, what they believe, how they talk, what they think, certainly points to that belief in their heart. I'll ask you, is God a respecter of persons? No. So I challenge you. I challenge you. Believe God. Believe God. Don't try and add anything to it. And if you don't know how to do that, well, then you have an example of a guy that even Sue read about. Lord, help my unbelief. I don't know how to do it, God. I don't know. Okay. That's a good place to start. Get honest with God. And this isn't, don't get honest between you and somebody else. You get honest between you and God. Get honest with him. Get real with him. And then receive the correction. Receive the counsel. Receive the word that he gives you. And guess what? You will get free. You will transition from believing in to believing on. You will do it. Will it happen instantly? Oh, I pray it would. Is it going to take work? Probably. That's why everything in the Bible talks about some sort of struggle. But it's not a struggle to believe. It's a struggle to continuously put off that unbelief. You have everything you need to do it. You are lacking nothing. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're lacking absolutely nothing. Even the will to do it, he'll give you. There is no excuse to not move forward in the fullness of everything God has for you. It's right there. It's right there. Are you going to pick up the gold? Or are you going to hang on to the brass? It's up to you. I pray you choose the gold. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us today. And I pray you receive this, all of the messages, as an encouragement to what could be if you choose Jesus and choose to believe and accept the fact that everything that happened from last second past is blotted out and washed away and forgotten the moment you repent. And that there is nothing but good and mighty things in the Lord before every single one of us that will believe. Lord, I just lift all of these messages up to you, Lord. And entreat you for the hearts of those that hear, from my own heart, Lord, that those areas of unbelief be illuminated, that you give us the will and the strength to drive them out, Lord. As you extend yet a little more grace, Lord, and a little more time. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, stay with us here on the Eagle Radio Network for the Texas service coming up in about, what, 7-8 minutes. So thank you guys for joining us, and we will hopefully see you in just a few minutes. May the Lord bless you.